We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. A special welcome to those that are joining us for the first time. We want to welcome you. We're back to our online service without anyone being in the building except for the present worship team and the technical team. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us this morning, those on the ground. From wherever you are, we just want to bless you. And this month, we are focusing on a new series. I know when we started off, we're looking at a season of open doors. It's still the same theme, but we are looking at it from the angle of favor. So this month of November, we'll be looking at the theme, but from the angle of favor. So if we could turn our Bibles to the book of Esther, we're going to be reading from the book of Esther this morning. And I'm speaking on the title, The Power of Favor. The Power of Favor. And our series this from this month in November is Open Doors of Favor. I'm reading from Esther chapter 2 and verse 5 through to 7. Esther chapter 2, verse 5 through to 7. Now there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives, carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. The book of Esther takes place in a city called Susa, which is what is in modern-day Iran. The exiles from Judah had spent a long time as captives of the Babylonians. So after Babylon's defeat by Persia, led by King Cyrus, he began to allow the captives free. In fact, he even allowed some of the Jewish captives to go back home in Jerusalem to rebuild the city. Now, while the Jews had been in exile, they had gained some freedoms and were at this point free to work and engage in anything that they wanted to do in that society of the day. In fact, some of them even chose to work for the king. Although they had freedoms, they still had a lot of people that were not particularly fond of them as exiles. So the Israelites went back home in three waves. The first wave was led by Zerubbabel. And the second wave was led by Ezra. The third wave was led by Nehemiah. So this story of Esther takes place between the first and the second wave. It was during a 10-year period in between these first and second phases. But not all the Jews returned to Judah. Not all of them returned because life was more comfortable in the city of Susa. Life was more comfortable in this center of world power and economic strength. This is where the king lived. So it was more comfortable than going back to Jerusalem, which was still a little bit not as civilized or not as advanced as the city of Susa. So many of the Jews therefore chose to stay behind and find opportunities to advance their lives, to be of influence. And some of these people that remained behind include Mordecai, who looked after Hadassah, that is Esther. Now, today as I'm talking about the power of favor, I want us to take note of the following effects about favor, that there are certain spiritual laws that control specific outcomes in your life. It doesn't matter who you are, but there are certain spiritual laws that affect the outcome of a nation, of a family, or of an organization. And favor is one of the primary reasons why people succeed. We need it. Divine favor, if I may start by just putting some cardinal points on the ground. Divine favor means to assist or to provide with an advantage, to give an advantage. It means to receive preferential treatment or approval. But most importantly, it is an act of grace that is flowing from the throne of God to a specific person so that their lives could be changed. It's an act of grace. It's not an act of man. When we talk about favor, we're talking about it flowing from the throne of God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, and it's talking about the children of Israel, where they were in bondage in Egypt. The Bible says, and I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. Can you imagine the Egyptians giving treasures to the slaves that they had enslaved for 430 years old? And then all of a sudden, like that, one night only, God says, I will move the hearts of the Egyptians to give you treasure, to give you silver, so that you will not leave this land empty-handed. That is what is called favor, because there is no way an Egyptian could bless a slave, a Jewish slave for that matter. There is no way that could happen. It took God to open the hearts of the Egyptians so that they may favor the slaves, the Jews. That's what I mean by favor. It's an advantage. It's to assist. It's preferential treatment and approval flowing from the throne of God. The favor of God has got timing dimension to it. Psalm 102, verse 13, the Bible says, I will arise and have pity on Zion. It is a time to favor her. The appointed time has come. This is from Psalm where God says, time to favor Zion has come, and therefore I will arise and have pity on my city Zion and favor her. And the dimension there is the timing. That timing had come for God to favor. There are times in your life when God comes to you and there is nothing at all that can stop God favoring you. Isn't it not Jesus that would say that, behold, I've set a door open for you and no man can shut it. A season had come. The time had come for that door to be open and no man could shut it. So there is a timing element to your life concerning God. In the calendar in heaven concerning your life, it could be that season when doors have to open, when the favor of God has come upon your life, and no devil can shut that door. So let's look at a few dimensions of divine favor, just a few dimensions or distinctives of divine favor from the book of Esther. The first dimension of divine favor is that the favor of God will find you. The favor of God will find you. Esther chapter 2, I'm reading verse 8. The Bible says, so when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa, the citadel, in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. The orphan called Hadassah, that is Esther. Hadassah is a Jewish name. Esther is the Aramaic name. She was an orphan. She was an immigrant. And somehow, this immigrant girl was chosen to be a part of the beauty pageant that was taking place in the capital. It is said that the king of that day, King Xerxes, his wife called Vashti, had embarrassed him, because when he called him to show him off to his generals and his most important people that he had thrown a party for, she refused to come. And that caused a stir within the power base of the empire. And so a verdict was issued that she should be ejected from that position of being the queen. And so the king was now looking for a replacement. And they suggested to him that why don't you put together a beauty pageant for the whole of your empire And out of that, you'll choose one lady who will then become the queen. And within this group of women that were chosen, the Bible does mention that Esther was one of those that were chosen. And the question then is, why was this immigrant chosen? Was it because of external beauty or internal beauty or a combination or none of them at all? Could it be that Mordecai knew someone on the inside? Why would an immigrant girl be chosen to be among the most beautiful girls in the land? The Bible does not say so, but we do know that Esther was chosen by favor. Esther was chosen because God favored her and put her in line to be selected as the queen of the largest empire of that day. You see, favor is not related to your age. She was a young girl. Favor is not related to your gender. Favor is not related to your position in society. This was an immigrant girl, for God's sake. Favor is not related to your title in church. You don't need to be an elder or a pastor to be blessed, to be favored by God. In fact, you could be an usher. You could be a technical man who operates the camera right now. Say amen to this gentleman who's doing an excellent job this morning. Amen. It has nothing to do with physical appearance. Amen. God can favor a man who looks like he's from somewhere. God can just favor you. It has got nothing to do with your looks. It also has got nothing to do with your educational background. You don't need to have gone to Cambridge University to be favored by God. You can have gone to Oxford University and still not find a job because the favor of God is not upon you. It's not, you don't need luck to be favored by God. Maybe from man you might need luck, but when it comes to God, luck is not within the economy of heaven. The favor of God found Esther because the favor of God has a tendency of finding you. It will find you. It found Esther when she did not even have any preconceived notion of ever becoming the queen of Persia. But God's favor searched for her and selected her to be among those selected few, the most beautiful women in the land. She found herself in that group. And I'm sure she couldn't even explain how she found herself in that group. The favor of God located David and found him in the pastures feeding sheep and brought him to be anointed as king of Zion. A shepherd boy, but the favor found him. They couldn't find him, they couldn't bring him into a meeting, but the favor of God located him like a navigation system. It located him right in the pastures of sheep and pulled him out, brought him in, he became king. That is what the favor of God is able to do. A young man who was not qualified at all in the natural, he wasn't qualified to be king. In fact, there were men better than him that day. Even Prophet Samuel almost anointed these men that could have been better than David. But favor still located David and anointed him to be king. My friends, this is what is called divine favor. Divine favor will locate you where you are. Divine favor will find you wherever you are. You don't need to be in England. You don't need to be in Sheffield. In fact, you don't even need to be in university. You don't need to be anything, but the favor of God will find you. I can assure you this morning, if there's anything to remember in this message, is that one day the favor of God will find you. Can you imagine that Esther was one among women that were living in 120 provinces that this king ruled? And yet the favor of God located this immigrant girl. No connection, no class, nothing, but only the favor of God found her. It comes with power. It's the power of favor that opens doors that no man can shut. Here is the second dimension of favor I want to share with you this morning. The favor of God gives you an unfair advantage. The favor of God gives you an unfair advantage. Esther chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible reads, "And the young man pleased him, and the young woman, and the young woman pleased him and won his favor. And he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and a portion of food, and with seven chosen young women from the king's palace, and advanced her and her young women to the best place in the harem." So Esther has been chosen, and the preparation program for meeting the king was a duration of 12 months. Before you could meet the king, there was a cosmetic course that you went through, and also some treatments that you needed to be given and administered. She needed seven maids to help her prepare to meet the king. It was a rigorous system of preparing for this beauty pageant that was coming up in 12 months. And it is, the Bible then introduces us to a man called Haggai. Haggai was an eunuch who was responsible for all the women that were participating in this beauty pageant. So he was the one that was preparing them for one of them. Only one could qualify to be the queen of the Persian Empire, the queen of the king, the most powerful man in the land. So as soon as Esther was admitted into this program, she won the favor of this very important man, Haggai. And so you can tell that from that moment onwards, her doors began to open. Her doors began to open. She listened to this man. She followed her advice all the way to the palace. And so that through that, we see that she gained favor from this man right from the beginning. And so because of that, he favored her. He gave her the best place in the harem. He gave her the seven maids that were supposed to look after her and help her become the queen. You can tell that favor began to make things happen, make things began to roll out for this young girl. But that was not the ultimate. It was just the beginning. So let me say this. In its barest form, in its simplest form, favor is unfair. It can't be fair. It can't be fair. Favor is unfair. It gives one advantage over the other. I know this is very difficult to grasp for us today, because the way we are raised, the way we are taught, we are raised by a system that rewards on merit. You qualify for something. You get something because you deserve it. You've got to work to become something in life. But let me say this to you. It doesn't matter how much you work. If the favor of God is not upon your life, you might not make progress in that direction. It's like trying to work when you've been cursed. It doesn't matter how much work you put into it. A curse reverses all the efforts you are putting in to succeed. And so the favor of God reverses that curse and places you in a place of advantage. It's unfair. The reason people look for favor from all sorts of places is because they want to have advantage over other people. The reason people go into witchcraft and all things is because they want to be ahead of something, ahead of some people. But you don't need to go all that way. All you need is to find the favor of God. And so Esther finds herself being favored. She didn't deserve to be, but she was favored because of this dimension of God which releases favor. See, when God is working in our lives, in the economy of God, which is different from this one where we are raised from, in the economy of God, God has a tendency of bypassing the natural protocols. God bypasses them. The very idea of favor means that there is a bypassing of what is natural, what is normal, and what is ordinary. And so if you look at Abraham, for example, in fact, let's start with Cain. Even though Cain was the firstborn, Cain was the secondborn, he killed his brother and God raised Seth. Abraham was not the firstborn of Terah. The firstborn was Nahor, but God chose Abraham by divine favor. Jacob was not the firstborn, but God chose who? Jacob, ahead of Esau by divine favor. Isaac was not the firstborn of Abraham. It's Ishmael who was the firstborn, but God bypassed the natural protocols to reach to Isaac as the promised son. Reuben was the firstborn, but he was not the one that took the double portion. The double portion went to Joseph because God, by his divine favor, bypassed the natural laws and gave it to Joseph. So God is not limited by natural protocols. God is not limited by the natural selection for a job interview. God might bypass the selection criteria to place you where he wants you to be. This is what is called favor. It's a system called favor. God uses a system of favor in order to give you unfair advantage. I know you don't like what I've just said, because our society does not like to hear the word unfair. Unfair. But let me tell you, I'm talking from another kingdom now. And in that kingdom, there's something called unfair advantage. It's got a name. It's called favor. As soon as Esther was admitted into this beauty pageant, she won the favor of a number of people because of this thing called unfair advantage. What is unfair advantage? Unfair advantage is when one is selected for something good among many that are qualified. Esther was not qualified, and yet God prepared her and qualified her to be queen. What is unfair advantage? Unfair advantage is when one seeks the face of God in prayer and then have all his requests granted. You remember the guy called Jabez? Everything was going against him. The Bible says he actually prayed, he actually prayed, and heaven heard him and granted him all his requests. That's favor. That is favor. You can pray. You can press into prayer. You'll be amazed what you attract when you begin to be a man or a woman of prayer. What is unfair advantage? Unfair advantage is when help is available unto a man or a woman in a time or at a place when you least expect. Favor shows up. God sends help when you least expect. It's also when little effort can produce great achievement. You remember Peter and his friends. They fished all night and caught nothing. And at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, just casting the net down on the right side of the boat, they fished out a boat-sinking catch of fish because heaven had intervened. Great success came that morning because of the favor of God. So when you're walking in favor, you have an advantage. Doors open supernaturally. God favors you. You get the right break. Whatever it is, no matter what is against you, no matter what you are facing, no matter what is working against your life, it really does not make a difference, because there is power in the favor of God that opens doors that no man can shut. No man can stand against a blessed woman, a favored man. You can't stand against the power of God. But only when your season comes, you will see the power of God. Number three dimension of the favor of God. The favor of God elevates you. The favor of God elevates you. In Esther chapter 2, from verse 15 to 17, the Bible says, when the 10 came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter to go into the king, she asked for nothing except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the women, advised. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Verse 16. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. For 12 months, Esther, with the help of Haggai and the 7 maids assigned to her, she diligently applied herself to the task of being a contestant in this beauty pageant. I don't want you to leave this service with the impression that favor means you sit around, click your fingers, fold your arms if you want, and relax and do nothing and let an angel come on his way and stamp you with favor. That's not what I'm saying this morning. Don't walk away with that mentality. Esther applied herself in those 12 months. Esther did some work in those 12 months. She gave herself to the task of becoming a competent contestant in this beauty pageant. She did not just sit back. You see, it wasn't just her external beauty that mattered here. Esther is not just a young girl who was blessed with a lovely figure and a pretty face. She's much, much, much more than that. As you read the story, you'll discover that she was a courageous and resourceful young girl. There's something about her character that makes people warm up to her. There's something about Esther that shows she had great humility. She knew how to deal with people. She knew how to carry herself among people. In any case, whatever the case it may be, she won the hearts not only of those in court. You know, the Bible says everyone who saw Esther, you know, there are people that when they are around, you just are drawn to them. You just love them. You can't understand, why is it that I can do anything for this person? You just don't understand it, but they draw something out of you. It's called the favor of God. You might not like them. You might not even agree with them. But when they walk into the room, there is favor that is drawn out of people. So Esther walks into the room in this beauty pageant. And the people say, the Bible says, and everyone who saw her favored her, liked her. But that's not all. The king, the man sitting on the throne, the Bible says, as soon as he set his eyes on her, he favored her. Now let me put it in our language today. What that means is that as soon as her name was announced to step into the podium, to step onto the stage, that competition was finished. It didn't matter who had come before her or who was coming after her. From that moment onwards, the competition was closed. That's the favor of God. It didn't matter who was doing that job. But the moment you walked into that place, that interview was finished. That search was finished because a woman was found. A man was found who was favored by God. And so the king then took the crown and put it on the head of Esther. From that, he didn't even have to wait to consult. Usually you wait. You have a council meeting to discuss. So who shall we? For those of you that watch Britain Has Got Talent, you see them going away, putting pictures there. Say, shall we? They argue about this one and that one and that one. And then they wait, they think. But for Esther, as soon as she walked in, the competition was closed because there was no debate, there was no meeting, there was nothing after. She is the one. The favor of God had found her. That's the power of favor. The favor of God will find you wherever you are, and it will elevate you. It's much, much, much more than your pretty face. It's much, much, much more than your CV. It is the favor of God. It will find you, and it will elevate you. It will lift you, and the search will come to an end. What kind of favor is this? What kind of favor is this that everyone was struck by the beauty of this young girl? It is the favor of God. You are the one that I want. That is the voice of favor. You are the one that I want. You are the one that I need for this, and I'm choosing you above all others. That's why I say to you, favor is unfair. Imagine somebody spent 12 months. Imagine there were women that day that were more beautiful than this immigrant girl. There were women that day that had connections more than this girl. But the favor of God landed on this girl and elevated her high in the echelons of power in the city of Persia, in the empire. So God's favor causes you to be promoted. It causes you to be blessed even though you don't deserve it. God's favor sets you in the right place at the right time. God's favor can even heal you in spite of your condition this morning. As you are listening to me, God can heal you this morning because of his favor. God will do what he did for Esther. He will do to you what he did for Esther. He went to Esther, says, I'm going to assist you, Esther. I'm going to bless you, Esther. I'm going to promote you this day, Esther. You're going to be elevated by my favor. Somebody is receiving that favor today. You know, Joseph found the favor of God at every stage of his life. It was a tough time for Joseph. But every time the favor of God came to his life, he was elevated. And he kept being elevated. And sometimes the elevation looked like it was going down, but really the favor of God was pulling him up until he found himself in the palace, being second to Pharaoh. And you can't explain that because Joseph was not an Egyptian. Joseph did not go to the University of Egypt. Joseph was not a minister of economics or agriculture. Joseph was a slave. Joseph was a boy who knew nothing but to clean, to tidy things up, and to interpret dreams. And yet from that type of background, from that type of history, God pulled him out of the dungeon and placed him and elevated him in the palace. That is what is called favor. And how many of you know that is unfair? That is unfair. What about the professors in the University of Egypt that had studied hard, that were waiting for a position of minister of economics, and God chooses a slave to place in that position? That could be you this morning. My friends, life is much, much more than what you see with your eyes. Favor is, you can't touch favor, but you can feel it. You can't touch favor, but you can sense it. You can't touch favor, but you know that favor has just walked into the room. The moment Esther walked into that room, they knew that there is something that has happened in this contest. Something has just shown up. It's the favor of God. You won't even understand it. Okay, let me get to the last point because I'm getting the media team jittery here with my time. Your promotion could be delayed. Your promotion could be, you could even feel cheated right now. You could be feeling cheated this morning. You know, that job, that position, you were cheated. Maybe you even feel oppressed. But let me announce to you that God's favor is on you. You are on the winning side. God has not abandoned you. Your time is coming. Your appointed time is coming. When the season has come, God will favor you, and men will take notice of it. Number four, that's the last one. The favor of God has a purpose for your life. The favor of God has a purpose for your life. I'm reading from Esther chapter 4, from verse 12. The Bible says, "And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. When Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do you not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews? Verse 14, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Who knows? For maybe you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Favor has a purpose for your life. God's favor has a reason. And you might not know the reason, but there is a reason why God will override human protocols, ordinary protocols, to set you up. There's a reason. There's a reason why God will do that. In showing Esther favor, God had a purpose for her life. Her beauty, her upbringing, her nationality, her position, everything about Esther was intertwined with God's greater purpose in the scheme of things. There are things that have happened in your life that you don't understand. There are things that God has allowed to happen in your life that you don't understand. But I've come to say to you that there is a purpose. God is favoring you for that appointed time that is coming. That appointed time that has come. That appointed time that is about to come in your life. There is a reason. There is a reason. So anyway, let me help you here a bit. So Esther now is in the palace. The palace is comfortable. There is politics in the palace. She's the queen, the most beautiful woman in the land. There's a lot happening in the palace. And yet, while all this was happening, beneath the surface, the devil was orchestrating some moves that would annihilate the children of Israel, all the Jews. Unbeknown to the queen, who's having a lovely time in the palace, she's thinking, so I am the queen after all. Yes, you are. And she's not going further in her reflection to say, so why am I the queen? How is it that I am in this place? What brought me here? And the politics of the palace starts to get into her. And Mordecai sends a message to her, says, hey, you think you will get away with it in the palace, but I've got a word for you. I believe it was polite. Now we brought it to her. Certainly not with my tone. I think he brought it in a very lovely way. So he says to her, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There it is. Mordecai knew she was afraid. Mordecai brings clarity for her to understand her role. So Mordecai says, Esther, you are in that position because God has put you in that position for such a time as this. That is the reason God has placed you in that position. And then a chord strikes in the heart of Esther. She realizes that, yes, this is the reason. And she changes her operating system from that moment onwards. She calls for a 3-day fast and her statement, if I perish, I perish. But if it is for this cause, for this purpose that I've been favored, then I am stepping out by faith. Because when you step out in the direction of favor, you will be delivered. You will be of significance. You will make a difference in the kingdom of God. You will advance the kingdom of God as long as you are stepping out, as long as you are rising up, as long as you are pulling yourself up in the direction of the favor of God. Then you will begin to see progress. You begin to see a door opening for your life. This is what happened. You see, the comforts and the palace can confuse you. But I've come to remind you this morning, you are in that unique position because of the favor of God. You have been set up in that seemingly impossible position because of the favor of God. Esther came to realize that God favored her to be in the palace of the king of Persia. It was for a specific time. It was for a specific purpose. Is the music man around? All of those hours that you have spent, all of those times that you spent lonely, feeling like you're abandoned, questioning why God, why this, why that, all those times will begin to have meaning when you tap into heaven and see God's purpose for your life right now and see God's purpose for placing you where you are right now. There's a reason God is at work. You might not see it, but God is at work because there's an enemy who's at work underground. There's an enemy who's planning to kill, to steal, and to destroy your destiny. An enemy who does not rest trying to pull you down. But I've come to announce to you today that maybe, just maybe, you have been placed in that position for such a time as this. The favor of God. The favor of God. the favor of God. There is a mission. The devil has a mission about your life. The devil will not succeed because Jesus is greater in you than he who's on the outside. Favor has a cause. Favor has a purpose. Favor has a name. It's the name of Jesus Christ that you need more than anything else. More than anything else, you need Jesus Christ this morning, because God has a purpose for your life. You might not be a preacher, you might not be a pastor, you might not be a prophet, but I've come to assure you today that God has called you to something. There is a purpose for your life, and you need God's favor to give you the unfair advantage so that you are elevated to a place where you can begin to discover what it is that God has placed in your heart, what it is that God has placed in your hand. You know, the favor of God is amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that the favor of God found Moses on the backside of a desert and pulled him out and brought him before the most powerful man of the land called Pharaoh. And he says to him, listen, with that rod, you're going to use it to do miracles. You're going to do impossible things because the favor of God was upon Moses. And he was never the same man from that encounter with God. Never the same man. God could have visited many people that day when he met with him in the wilderness. God could have gone to Aaron. God could have gone to whosoever. But he chose this one man who had run away from Egypt, and yet God's favor found him out, singled him out, and pulled him out. God's favor is coming for you. God's favor is coming for you. God's favor found a man, Saul of Tarsus, out to kill, out to arrest and prosecute Christians. On his way to Damascus, he came face to face with favor. The Lord Jesus had an encounter with Lord Jesus, and from that moment onwards, Saul, who later became Paul, was never the same man. There's a purpose. There's a purpose why he fell off his horse. There's a purpose. There's a purpose why you are making false starts in your life. There's a purpose why inside of you, deep inside of you, you know there's something significant. There's something that wants to happen, but you don't know how. You need God's favor. You need God's favor this morning. You know you're born for something. You don't understand it yourself, but you're saying, but God, I'm a nobody. But God, I'm not this. But God, I don't have that. And yet, within you, there's a voice, there's a call, there's a pull, there's a tug in your spirit calling you to rise up, calling you to step up, calling you and speaking to you that it can be something else. And this morning, I want to assure you that there's a purpose for your life. You need the favor of God. So when the favor of God comes to you, it comes with a name, the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to introduce you to Jesus this morning. And there will be phone numbers coming on the screen that you will see after this, that you can call us on and tell us so that we can introduce you to Jesus Christ and help you in this new walk. You can have a fresh start today. You can start a new walk of favor with God. And maybe you're listening to me this morning, you're not feeling well. I'd like to pray for those that are sick. Amen. So if you could just, wherever you are, just close your eyes or lift up your hands or whatever. I just want to pray with you before I step away from here. I want to pray specifically, there are people that I'm praying for right now. You've got a throat, a pain in the throat. Your throat is hurting badly. I want to pray with you. God wants to heal you this morning. Father, I want to pray first for those that want to give their lives to Jesus Christ. They've never ever given their lives to Christ. They've never surrendered. I want to bring them before your throne this morning. The Lord Jesus, would you hear their prayer? Would you touch them? May they have an encounter with the living God. In the name of Jesus, may they start a new life with you today. A life of faith, a life of victory, a life of living by faith. Obedience to Christ in the name of Jesus. I want to release healing this morning for those that are not feeling well this morning. I'm thinking of those a particular person right now listening to me who has a throat that is hurting badly. Lord, would you release your healing power right now and heal that throat in the name of Jesus. Would you heal? Take away that pain. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. For Jesus is our healer and is able to heal not only that condition, but several other conditions today of those that are listening to me. That Lord, may you release your healing. I think of those particularly that are sick from this sickness of COVID or any respiratory sickness this morning. I release the healing power of God. Lord, may you touch them. May you touch them. Let the healing power flow as I pray. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Hallelujah. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.